Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. So I had a response on one of my YouTube videos that I want to respond to. And I can't pull it up right now because I have my podcast equipment on. But essentially the question was, the person said, I'm interested in KI, but I don't trust you or KI. Because I don't know if she has anger repression, but she said, I want to have self-compassion and understanding for these parts of myself. Well, I have to say, there's a lot of assumptions in that. The assumption is that KI doesn't help you have compassion for those parts. Can I explain something to you, to everybody listening, some things that you don't maybe know about KI if you haven't started? Because I can see that from a question like that. There's the only way to build trust in any relationship is through authenticity. Because the person is talking about trusting us. And I have spent a lifetime not trusting people, but not knowing exactly where that came from. So that comes from repression. That doesn't mean that when you clear anger repression, that you just trust everybody. I thought that it was like that too. I didn't understand the trust issue, since you're bringing that up, and how it comes from repression and what it looks like after repression. But trust issues and authority issues are all self-trust issues. Let me explain. When we see another person, we're not really seeing another person. We're seeing through the filter of our trauma. So if I don't trust you, that reflects back to me something that I'm carrying in my body that doesn't allow me to trust myself. That shadow isn't really there. In other words, seeing someone like, I don't trust you, I don't trust them, protects us more than anything. But from what? See, that's what eluded me. Because I mean, I spent my whole life like this person. Like, I do want to get to the root of things, but I don't trust you. You know, I mean, not only do I not trust a spiritual teacher or a mentor or something, but I don't trust people. That's why I didn't trust people. That's because I was bullied by people close to me. So if you've never been betrayed, it's like you don't, your world just, your universe splits. You don't, there's no ground to stand on when you're humiliated by the people closest to you, because those are your close bonds. And if your close bonds turn against you, that betrayal, like if you have a parent who violates you in some way, that betrayal is so deep that you're going to have trust issues. If you were sexually abused, bullied, you're definitely going to have trust issues. But that really is emotional repression, and that's the whole issue. This whole thing of trust is keeping us safe because we can't trust ourselves. So as long as we have buried emotions, we're always going to distrust others, because to get close to others would mean to get close to ourselves, to truly connect with ourselves, and that's just too scary. So we'll say that we don't trust others, but that's because we're protecting ourselves. And if we can see that, then we'll go to the self-trust issue, which is, can I trust this emotion? Can I actually really, really have compassion for myself and trust myself? And this is why I want to take that questioner a little bit to task, because if you really had self-compassion, as you say, wouldn't you want to own that? And wouldn't you want to at least find out if somebody could help you with that? If you were, and what I didn't understand is, with repression, we're in a pretty helpless state, because everything in our lives is making sure that we don't recognize that we're angry, for example, or hurt. I mean, everything at the surface is there to distract us. So every relationship is there to distract us. If you come and watch me on YouTube, your relationship to me and how you don't trust me has nothing to do with me, until I do something that warrants that. Maybe I did, but the person didn't mention anything. They said, you're probably trustable, but I don't trust you. And so you have to trust that first, because how could you ever work with someone or follow something if you don't trust them? That I agree with for sure. But then that also puts us in a predicament, and that's where I got myself with my lack of self-trust. Let me tell you my story so you can see where the trust issue was the number one issue that I saw through. I trust myself. That's not true that there's a self here that I trust. It's that doing repression work allows you to trust your experience completely. And that's what this is about. When she says she doesn't trust me, she doesn't trust herself. So, but you don't know that. You don't know that unless you have an effective way of getting to buried emotions, because the buried emotions keep you from trusting yourself and other people, or even knowing how to build trust. Trust, in my view, it's built through authenticity. If you can trust me because I'm being honest about my own experience, that can build trust and allow you to feel and express what's true, and then together we build that trust. But if I don't do my own work all along the way, I can't build trust with you. See, because the trust issues come from repression, so I can't look at you and say, okay, make it so that I'll trust you, because there's nothing that I can do to make you trust me. Trust is for you, to that questioner, is for you to discover. But if you're sitting there processing buried emotions on your own, you might be doing what I was doing, which is basically solidifying the suffering. Let me explain. See, when the questioner asked me this, one of the first things that came up for me is she an avoidant? Because right there, if we can identify that there's conditioning in your body that says, and you can, if she's listening, she can pull it up. I think it's a she. But anyway, you would say, I don't have to get away from people. If you look at people, even pull me up or people close to you, I don't have to get away from them. And see what happens in your body. If you feel something like, yeah, I do, that's the avoidant conditioning, and it's trauma. Even if it's a small energy, it just could be very hidden. I don't have to get away from them. So if the questioner has that conditioning, which most likely she has some, and it's very common that people with buried anger and hurt have that, then that's where that's coming from. But she couldn't know it because that's unconscious with the buried emotion. So attachment style, how is that relevant? See, when you're in an avoidant attachment pattern, you really, really don't trust people, is what it is. But your degree of consciousness around that is important, because people can say, well, I know that. I know I don't trust people. That's why I'm avoidant. But that's not the degree of consciousness that I'm talking about. My question is, do you know why you avoid people? Do you know what you bury? Do you know specifically the emotions that you're trying to get away from? Because if you don't, that will not be a skillful path, because you won't connect the fact that you don't trust people to buried anger, or that you're getting away from people, not because of them, but because of you and because of what you can't tolerate emotionally. And when you add these things up and you see how conditioned we are at an unconscious level. So when this questioner said, quote unquote, I'm processing buried emotions, my thought was, but are you processing the other conditioning with it? Because it's not just buried emotions. We are getting away from people and disconnecting constantly in ways to self-protect, because we don't trust ourselves with people. So what I would say to the questioner is that if you're really processing buried emotions, it's teaching you self-trust and boundaries, and then you can come and work with me. But if your processing of your buried emotions isn't getting to those things, then you don't have any boundaries and you don't have any self-trust. You should come and work with me, because that's what I help you with. That's what I'm saying. I think you're stopping yourself. And I think this is what anger repressors do and don't realize it. Let me tell you the story of meeting Dan McClintock, because it's taken me 3 to 4 years. It was 3 to 4 years after KI was really starting to be developed before I even understood Dan McClintock's presence in my life. He's the co-developer here. So we sat in a hot tub for 2 years and developed this work every night. We did that. We got to know each other very well, and we're still very close. So when I first got to Dan, Dan was one of the first people that you could say that I trusted. Speaking of trust. But the reason that I trusted Dan in first was because he was also an anger repressor. And therefore, he would never hold my feet to the fire. He would never do anything or say anything that would hurt me. And that was a trauma bond. But it was just enough of a trauma bond to develop a trust so that I could let one person in. Now, by me letting him in and him letting me in, we trauma bonded and we didn't get to buried anger. And that's the problem with people with buried anger helping other people. And so I say to this questioner, you want somebody who's worked through the buried emotions to help you. Because people who have not, they won't get you to that. It's like doing it on your own, where you think you're getting to it, but you don't realize you have conditioning that's making sure that doesn't happen and that you need someone else there who has gone through it. But when I first met him, I didn't understand that this really has been a lifelong trust issue for me. This whole repression has been, and this is why I wanted to comment to the commenter. Before meeting Dan, there wasn't a single human being that I remember who I would ever let see my process. That's the avoidant attachment and how it shows up in spirituality. It's like it's a fear of being seen and a constantly kind of getting away from anybody who might be able to help me. It really is. It's like, well, here's a teacher. They say some good things. Eh, I don't really like that or that. Yeah, I can't trust them. On to the next. And then we live that avoidant life. And I did it too. It's like, and then I said, I got this. I got into the hot tub with Dan and I really thought I had this. You know, he had a porn problem and I had some chronic pain, but my chronic pain's not physical. And by the way, I don't need to do any inquiry. I'm going to help you. But as I sat there in the hot tub with him and I felt trusting of him, but really myself, I started eventually to go into things that I had never opened up to with people. Things like Dan became very intimately aware of what drove me to be submissive in BDSM and what drove me to like fall in love with men who wouldn't love me back, you know, earlier in my life. And he found out what it felt like to be bullied when you're gay. And I found out what it was like for him to go through his traumas, all those feelings and insecurities. And yeah, there was trust built up there. But we still didn't trust ourselves. And that's what I have to say to the questioner. When you have buried emotions, you want to believe that you're trusting yourself because that's how you protect yourself. Dan and I were not trusting ourselves because we hadn't gotten to buried anger. We were experiencing just the beginning level of kind of a trauma bond, really. We were not taking each other to task. We were loving each other as best as we could, but we couldn't trust ourselves and we couldn't really fully trust each other then because authenticity builds trust and we were codependent with anger repression and no, you can't build trust that way. But our relationship developed and has developed to include trust. But that came from processing buried anger and letting other people see that, see? Letting other people see that emotion, but also letting other people see that process. Because here we have a mentorship program where we let people see our process so that we can expose our process to others so that they can see any issues with it where we're just trying to avoid something. See, an avoidant can sit and do spiritual practice and bypass and never have to take ownership of it because they're not trusting another human being to even see them. And that's exactly what the conditioning wants. So compassion is often self-protection. Self-compassion is often like, no, I'm just afraid to be seen. So I just want to, I want to give love and light to this part of myself, which is like saying, I don't really want to feel this. And I don't want you to help me feel it more because I'm protecting myself here from really getting free. And that's how it is. But we don't know it. Because until we have a modality that's skillful at the unconscious level that can hear all this, we'll sit and believe that this is really because, you know, like the questioner doesn't trust me. What I would say is that you don't know me. And we haven't given each other the chance to develop trust through authenticity because there's been no connection. The reason that I went into mentorship is for connection. And I noticed that just doing sessions or doing videos with as a teacher was not very connecting in terms of like to really do the work. I did this video and I said, what stops you from doing the work? And she said, well, I don't know if I trust you, even though I listen to you every day. And I thought, well, right, but what if I'm your Dan and you don't know it yet? Or what if somebody here is your Dan or somebody here is your Scott, but you just won't let that one person see you who knows KI, who can say, yeah, but the way that you're processing buried emotions won't get you free. What if we're right and you just can't hear it? Not right versus wrong, but what if we have a way that could really help you and that you, by not trusting us, you're not really trusting yourself to learn this way and do it. Because in the end, it's going to be your freedom if you learn these tools, not ours. That's where self-trust will get you. If it's real, it'll get you free. Because you will be open to letting people see you. When we process buried emotions, it's really about connection. So if you feel like you have to be on your own doing work like that, that's a lot of disconnection, actually. And that's why I mentioned avoidance. And I say this because that's the objection that questioner gave. It's like she didn't say, I don't have the money, because I'm not going to come onto a podcast and say, well, you know, you need to go get a job and find the money to work with me. No, that's not the barrier. The barrier is trust. And that's something that we can talk about because that's related to repression directly. I was talking to Dan the other day about how in the public domain, we talk about how we have to develop trust and safety in order even to work with someone. A therapist will often, especially one that doesn't do their own work, will say things like this, that I provide a trusting and safe space for my clients. Well, I should hope so, because you wouldn't have any clients if you didn't. Like if you attacked your clients, they wouldn't even come. They're coming because you don't. You have to provide a safe space. And safety comes from within them. And if you don't get your codependent claws out of that, they're never going to see it. I heard that when they made the DSM, that some therapists and theorists who were creating the diagnostic manual for conditions, they left codependency out. They didn't make it a diagnosis. I wonder why. Because a lot of those therapists and theorists probably didn't want their own condition on the pages staring back at them. Because codependents think, for example, that they can provide safety and trust for others. Like that's your job, is to do that for other people. But often codependents have buried anger and they can't even do that for themselves. So if this questioner is someone who has buried anger, she can't find safety and love within. That's why she's processing buried emotions. And we're saying that you can't find it outside of yourself either, but we have tools that will actually help you find it within. That's the difference, see? That the very looking for trust and safety outside of ourselves is coming from the repression and we'll never find it. Like if I sit down with you and we develop enough, you trust me enough to help me guide you, or let me guide you, and you feel safe enough to do that work, the rest is up to you. Because all I can do is have that space in which it's safe enough for you to go. There's no magic, really, that a therapist or a teacher can do other than really authenticity is the secret sauce. It's not like holding space, because holding space could be very inauthentic. You could be like really needing to go to a certain place, but I'm just holding the space hoping that you'll go there, but you can't get there. And in fact, I need to interject and say, but what about that? And that's active and loving and engaged. And so, but that can feel unsafe, see? It's just safer to sit back and like, I don't want to be seen. I don't want you to tell me to go here or suggest that. I just need to, and there we stay in our sense of disconnection, even when we're with someone. So I don't think it's about being with someone that we can trust fully or we can feel safe with, because I don't think with people with repression that we ever really do. If we're honest, I mean, I'm just trying to speak from my history. I don't remember ever feeling safe with people or trusting them. So if you can see that about yourself, if you're the questioner or anybody, you can start to take more responsibility for where that comes from. And then you don't look at like, well, they're going to keep me safe, or if I could just trust them, because I don't think you're going to be able to trust us from repression. But instead, I want you to think about, instead of trusting us, because I think that makes it too personal. Like, for example, we're authority on this issue, or an authority in the world. And we're somebody that you listen to, for example. So when you have anger repression, you can't trust authority. Not really. So what we're doing is something different. We're saying you can't really trust us with repression. And you can't really feel safe here because you have repression. Like, there's nothing that we can do to make you trust us or really make you feel safe. That's an internal process. But what we have done is create safe spaces and different trusting spaces where you can begin to trust yourself more with a higher skill level. That's what KI brings in, a higher skill level. And providing spaces like a mentorship one-on-one could be the space that is safe enough for you, because there's enough disconnection and space where you can autonomy, and you can process on your own and come to me only when you need help, so that I don't interfere in your autonomous space, your sacred space, really, for you to process. But that might feel scary for someone. And so they might say, well, I want to go into a group because it's safer and I can just trust myself more and not feel like I'm just one-on-one with someone. So those are safer spaces depending on what you need. And your attachment style would matter. It's like, maybe if you're avoidant, the group feels safer. But that has to do with the space and not necessarily a person. I mean, if there's something that I'm doing that makes you feel like you don't trust me, then I would say go to another trainer here. There's five of us. And I think if you go through, you'll see that it's not really about KI or me. It has to do with that you need to just feel like there's somebody that you can sit with. And it's like, I don't know how you determine that, but like if I were going through the website of the five trainers, I'd probably skip me and go to Dan because Dan's always been my mentor. That's a energy thing for me. And it's a trust thing. But it's difficult when you don't trust yourself. So you almost have to go with like, where do I just feel safe enough? So like if I would invite the questioner to go to killaby.com, there are two female mentors and three male, and see if there's just a different energy that you feel safer with. Because I'd hate for people to look at me and because there's something about me that then they don't trust KI, because I'm just a person, you know, I'm not KI. I'm just one of the people who talk about it. And it's unfortunate to think that some people wouldn't get free because of that. And that's why there just has to be other options. But just a little bit more before I go on trust, because I let Dan in, and it took a while for me to not to trust Dan or people, but to trust myself through processing buried anger skillfully. That's what it's really about. So to the questioner, You have to be careful with how your viewpoint keeps you from even knowing what we're doing here. Notice how repression keeps us from even learning something. Because once I open myself up to what that was about, this whole KI thing, I learned something that we only trust other people enough to begin truly trusting ourselves more. That's the only way it works. So in fact, we don't have to give ourselves over to someone fully. And you won't with me. There'll be boundaries. I don't want that. I don't want enmeshment. I don't want trauma bond. And I don't want to overpower you, or that's not anything that I want. Trust and safety are important for me too, but I find it within. I trust myself when I'm mentoring, and I find safety within. I already have that. So I know that you'll find it within too. And the mentorship is always geared towards that. So even if you feel like I'm meeting your needs, and people often do, they'll say, it feels like you're hearing me. Thank you. Or I feel loved here. I'll say, thank you, but that's not why I'm here. Because if this were just a surrogate parenthood, that would be different. If you just came to get the love and approval that you didn't get, well, then that's met. But that's not why you came here. And you also didn't come here to be attacked. Like, you didn't come here to be with an unconscious person. You came here for somebody who could just hold that space with skill enough where you could start trusting yourself. And that's it, because that's all we need is just skill. That's what KI is. It's like, can I let somebody in long enough just to learn this skill the way it's developed? Or will I keep everybody shut out from the repression and say that that's compassionate towards myself? But how is disconnection really compassionate towards ourselves when the disconnection comes from the repression? And it's like being a cult of one even. Like, if we don't ever let anyone see us, then we're disconnected from people. And it's coming from a fear of being seen. It's more than what your mind tells you about. See, the mind justifies everything. But at the unconscious level, it's just real simple. It's like, no, I don't want to be seen. I'm angry and I don't want to connect. I can't. I'm afraid of it. See, that's honest. If you don't have the right skills, you don't even know that that's going on in your body. So when you say, hey, maybe you have some great skills, but I don't know. Exactly, you don't know what we're doing here if you don't try it. But when it comes right down to it, her answer was perfect in the end, because she said, I think if I just keep listening, I might develop the trust. I said, you know, or I meant to say, and I'm saying it here, and I'm going to send this podcast as a response to her. To me, and you're going to hear me say it, keep watching my shorts. I don't know if you heard it the first time, but authenticity builds trust. So I want to be myself on social media so that you'll see who I am, and then therefore you don't have to guess. And then you can trust that. As much as possible. You might not like every aspect of me, but at least you'll see it. And when you can see something, it's easier to know whether you can trust it, because it's not covert. There's no hidden agendas in the same way. So I'm going to talk about that really for you and people like you, for the questioner, because I thought it was a really valid question, actually, trust. That I want to talk about how authenticity builds trust. And inauthenticity disconnects. So if I'm false with you, you can't trust me. I don't even trust myself. How could I foster trust in this relationship if I'm not trusting myself to feel and express what's really true for me? That's what this work is about. So if you're interested, the questioner, what I want to say to the questioner is your answer is right. Just keep watching. You may or may not become interested in working with us. But some people are listening and they're just to a further stage. They're like, no, I'm not going to sit there and say that. I'm going to learn these tools. I want to know what they're doing. See, that's what I mean. Like, a lot of this stuff we say, it's like, well, I'm not going to learn KI because I'm sitting here doing my work. But you don't know what we're doing. This podcast is not it. when I talk about repression, that's not it. And none of the skills that are public are it. So you couldn't possibly know what we're doing. And so I have to say, is your trust and safety issue just keeping you stuck from learning something that could free you or keeping you from learning that? It's something to ponder. You know, I tell people, like, all you have to do is try a month of mentorship. And then if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But then you'll know because you tried it. But sitting there and saying, hey, I don't think I trust you, is saying, I don't even trust myself to learn this method. And I think that's what hurts you, potentially. But there's a link if anyone is ready to either join my Jumpstart group, which is a monthly group. It ends after a month. Jumpstart your repression inquiry skills. And you do it on your own and trust yourself. Or the one-on-one program, you would go to the same link in the description and just come talk to me about working with me one-on-one. And that's where we could talk about things like trust more and more, because there is a certain amount, the question is right. There has to be a certain amount of, like, I feel safe and trustful enough to just meet with you. That's the first step sometimes for the one-on-one. Okay, thank you.